Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Jill and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, this is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I am Tom Appel. Thank you for joining us today. When you get a chance, do me a huge solid. Check us out at consumerguide.com. While you're there, lots to see, but you're going to want to check out our 2024 Best Buy picks. If you were shopping for a new car, this list is super handy. Plus, if you're not downloading the podcast someplace, you can stream it right there on our homepage. All right, this is episode 201, and I'm going to let out a little secret. This is the first one we're recording in the new year. We pre-recorded the last two. I hate to blow the bubble. I hate to go through the illusion, but that's the fact that this is the first new episode of 2024. All right. Jill is not with us today. She is spending some extra time, holiday time with her family. With us instead is Brendan Appel of the Sons of Speed. Hey, Brendan.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for jumping in.
My pleasure, always.
Lots going on.
There is a ton going on right now.
It's amazing how much stuff is happening. And what's funny is my news sources, which are a bunch of podcasts primarily, were off air for a while, leaving me feeling a little naked, a little uninformed.
Doesn't that suck when the stuff that you're used to like going to every single week and all of a sudden it's just like, this is what would happen if the world just ended?
Or, yeah.
And I was Will Smith in I Am, what is that movie?
I Am...
What something is, or other.
Yeah,
but anyway,
that.
You're the last man on earth. And like, it's that's what it feels like between Christmas and New Year's when you're home and you're looking for your content.
I don't even have a nice dog. He had a nice dog.
He did. And a nice car. He had that Shelby.
Oh, yeah.
Mustang, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And got to drive it with no traffic in New York City. I mean, how lucky a guy.
That is pretty cool. All right, tell us about the Sons of Speed real quick for people who don't know.
So Sons of Speed is myself and Paul Harold are the two partners there. And we just try to wring out the performance in any vehicle that we're driving. We'd like to get into the soul of the vehicle and how does it make you feel when you're driving. So that's why our tagline is Redline Your Soul.
Your videos are excellent.
Thank you.
You guys know what you're talking about, but you've got a couple of new videos, right?
We do. So right now, if you go to We Are Motor Driven on YouTube, you will find our 2023 Volkswagen R and the 2023 Corvette Stingray. Now, these are not just regular videos. This is part of our lap series. So we run a series, and we've been doing it, I think this is the fifth year, where we take a car out on the racetrack, in this case, Road America, and we take it around the track for a lap, and we've never driven the cars before in most cases, and we're just giving you our impressions as we're driving. And one of the best compliments we ever got was from one of the guys at CGI Motorsports, who in these MAMA events that you and I attend, uh-huh, with the Midwest Automotive Media Association, one of the drivers who's a professional says to us after one of our videos that we shot, and he had to be in the right-hand seat because I think that was the 700 and some odd horsepower Durango Hellcat. And he said, he was amazed that we could drive the car as fast as we were driving it and as well as we were driving it and then talk the entire time we were doing it into the video.
Which is a gift.
I didn't recognize it as much, but yeah, it's kind of like, you know, half your brain is just sort of running on autopilot, and we do so much track driving sometimes that part of the brain is just sort of doing its thing, and then you're talking, and that's the active part of your brain. I've heard this the same with music. If you're playing like guitar and singing at the same time, you have to be able to do one of those without thinking about it. Otherwise, you can't do both at the same time.
I am a thoroughly mediocre track driver, so I can appreciate what it takes to be a good one. And it's as for doing two things in one, totally off topic, Mark Knopfler.
Yes.
Of Dire Straits, one of the greatest guitarists of all time.
He is.
In one video in particular, showing how if you do something on the upper set of strings, you can use your other fingers to play a separate complementary melody underneath that. And it's like,
wow,
you can do that.
He says it like it's easy.
Yeah, yeah. And that's not a thing a lot of people can do. But your videos are great.
Thank you very much.
All right. There's a lot of stuff I want to talk to you about today. Let me just get the list out here so we go through it, because if I say it, then we have to get to it.
That's right.
So we have to talk about the North American Car of the Year winners. Those have been announced.
Okay.
My beef with online used car retailer DriveTime. Stellantis has pulled out of a bunch of auto shows.
Oh, yes. That
Stellantis,
one hurts.
Parent company of Chrysler and Jeep. And finally, we both drove the GV70 recently, the GV70 Electrified.
Yes.
That is the Genesis product. Later in the show, We're talking Genesis.
Very timely topic.
So we're in good shape. But I'm just going to jump into this thing real quick. Car of the year, are you ready?
Yes.
All right. The candidates were the GV70E, the electrified.
The one I'm driving
very,
right now.
Very topical.
Yeah, exactly.
The Kia EV9, which is Kia's all-new three-row electric vehicle.
Which hasn't hit the press fleet yet, I don't think.
No.
Okay.
No. And then the Kona EV. So it's an all Hyundai Kia lineup there. And an all-electric lineup.
Well, anyway, now, the Kona is an interesting choice because they just redesigned the Kona. We were out there driving the new ones, but those are gas only, and the EV was not yet announced. So is this the 2023 Kona EV?
I don't know the answer to that. Hmm. Do I have EV wrong? Is it just the Kona?
Maybe it's the Kona because well, as of September when we were in Charleston, South Carolina, driving those vehicles, the EV was coming and acknowledged, but not announced.
Well, the Kona didn't win.
Okay, so moot point.
Whichever Kona it was. But to that point, the Kona shouldn't be on the list anyway because the EV isn't 50 state. It's sort of a vehicle they use to hit a price point in some markets.
Right.
Unlike their other products. But the EV9 won.
Okay.
Big crossover.
It looks beautiful, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, that looks cool. And the car, it was Accord, Prius, and Ioniq 6. I'm surprised to hear that it's the Prius, but the Prius is pretty good right now.
I just got out of the Prius Prime last week. Video's coming this week. And I can tell you that as a member and founding member of Sons of Speed, we wouldn't normally be caught dead in a Prius, except that they redesigned it and they actually made it to where I wanted to drive this vehicle, and I'm glad I did.
It's good looking.
It looks fantastic. I compare it in the video to the front end, at least from the side profile. A Lamborghini Countach comes to mind because the rake of the windshield matches the rake of the hood.
Yeah, it's like a wedge.
It's like a wedge.
A real wedge.
It's crazy. Just like the Countach used to do.
So this list was the Accord, the Prius, and the Ioniq 6. The Accord is fantastic. The new Accord is very good. The Ioniq 6 I just drove.
Mm-hmm.
That is the electric sedan.
I know.
From Hyundai with really good range, up to 360 miles.
Excellent.
What a nice car.
It is a very nice car.
One complaint. The interior looks great. It's really cheap. It's really like Samsonite suitcase.
It's not a Genesis.
It's not. And they're trying to hit a price point. So
true.
Trucks surprised me. Candidates for Colorado, Silverado EV, and Ford Super Duties. I just didn't think that Car of the Year voters really did enough Super Duty stuff with their...
With their trucks?
Yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah. But the Super Duty won. I have no doubt that it's very good. I haven't driven the new Super Duty. But I thought the Silverado EV was going to win.
You know, basically from... If you're trying to ballpark these things or handicap them, Car of the Year journalists are not out there doing typical truck stuff unless it's a truck-specific group. So I would have been with you. I would have thought that the Silverado would have been a shoe-in just because it's topical. You know, a lot of the stuff that gets chosen for these awards sometimes is it's topical. It serves a purpose or it's going places or it's making a statement.
Yep.
The Super Duty is just kind of like, hey, I'm still here and I'm really, really good.
Yeah. And all three vehicles in that class are the Ram and the Chevy and the GMC. They're really, really good.
Yeah.
They do what they're supposed to do.
It's so much to the point that my wife thinks I'm nuts, but I've driven so many of these beautiful trucks, and I mean beautiful on the inside.
Uh-huh.
Where I kind of want one now because we just brought a Christmas tree home because we needed another Christmas tree in my house, and the three that we already had weren't enough. yesterday, we brought an artificial one home, and I could have used a pickup truck. So I keep – every time that comes up, I say to my wife, see, I need a pickup truck. And she goes, no, you don't.
If I went Super Duty or Heavy Duty, I would not get the diesel because the gasoline engines in the Chevy and the Ford are really good.
Right, unless you're towing 12,000 plus pounds.
Yeah.
You probably don't need it, although you did talk about a couple of weeks ago with Jill about how the resale value on those diesels, especially the bigger ones.
You get your money back.
You get your money back.
Yeah.
Same thing happens with RVs, by the way.
Does it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Diesel.
Yeah, double the price for the diesel, but then they maintain their value.
So there you go.
Yeah.
All right. My beef with Drive Time.
Yes.
I sent you a commercial.
You did.
You saw the commercial.
I saw the
commercial. This is running right now on TV. It's running during Gunsmoke, so I don't really know who they're targeting.
That's why you saw it.
That's why I saw it. It's running during Gunsmoke. So me and the rest of the 90-year-olds saw this commercial because 90-year-olds use apps. But Drive Time is a used car buying service. It's pretty big. They have a national marketing campaign.
Apparently not well aimed.
No. No, because my dad would not use Drive Time.
No, nobody in that audience would.
No.
Not even you.
But it's an app. And the thing that is bothering me about these apps, apart from the actors who are super annoying, is the fact that they're suggesting that you are negotiating the price on your app.
Right.
When what you're doing is trying to determine your down payment and your payments, which has no impact on the price.
Right. It's a faux level of control.
Yeah, that is exactly what it is. And they have people screaming, we're making our own deal. And no, you're not.
No.
You're paying the price they're asking you to. And then you're super limited anyway on down payment because your lender's going to have something to say about that.
Right, exactly. I don't know if Priceline ever did this, but they should have done a name your own price for a car. Like you could list out the car, all the options, you could choose them all, and then send it out to all the dealers and be like, who wants to sell me this car for $40,000?
Oh, interesting.
That would have been a better...
That's a great idea.
Thank you. You know, that's a freebie for anyone listening. See, you get good information on the Car Stuff podcast.
Yeah.
Which is, by the way, congratulations on the number seven
best car podcast
in the country.
Yeah, BuzzFeed does a list every year. I'm surprised their list was out already.
Yeah, it's a great honor. So I'm happy to be here on the seventh most best podcast.
I thank good co-hosts.
Thank you.
And good guests, too. Sam Fiorani, if you're listening, yes. Thank you, sir. And all the rest of our great guests.
You do a great job, and the guests are great. So back to the point, though, that would be a better – that would actually fulfill what this commercial is trying to portray but is not really doing.
Yeah.
And we talked about this thing, is that if you're advertising, like, say, leases, everything is dependent on – the down payment, right? So that's basically what this app is doing, is you play around with the numbers like that. But if you see a lease ad, and if you see lease ads and you think, oh, that's great, I could buy that BMW or lease that BMW for $399 a month. Well, yeah, there's a giant asterisk, or probably a tiny asterisk at the bottom, but giant as far as impact goes, that says, yeah, that's if you put like $18,000 down. I mean, I can get a lease deal for anybody in this country for a dollar a month for any car. Any car. You could rent lease a Bugatti Veyron or whatever the Chiron is for a dollar a month. You just have to put enough money down.
Yeah, you have to put down 99.98%.
Exactly. And that's how they advertise these things. If the federal government wanted to do something beneficial with its time, which clearly they're not doing, they should make everybody on a lease ad zero down.
Have been laws, and there are separate laws in Illinois about how you advertise lease prices, but I don't think they go far enough.
No, they don't go far enough. It should all be zero down, and this is the price if you put no money down. And knowing that if I put some money down, I can get that price down, but I'm just prepaying. All you're doing is prepaying the lease.
The interesting thing is I can't remember any serious advertising, automotive price advertising law that was super significant since they decided to standardize APR.
Yeah.
Because people would advertise interest rates and they'd be like quarterly or monthly. They'd be hideous.
Anything they could do to, and the funny thing is that I guess it works because otherwise they wouldn't do it. But if you're fooling me on the way in, you think I'm going to buy your car now? Like,
I'm never coming back. If I sit through this.
Right.
I'm never coming back.
You feel like you're in a timeshare presentation by the end of it.
Yeah. So drive time, you don't really get to make your own deal. That's my point here.
But Priceline could.
Priceline could. They should do that.
And I need royalties on that.
That's a good idea. Oh, you said they could have it for free.
Well, I'm taking it.
Yeah.
They haven't acted on it yet, so that offer is now revoked, and now I want royalties.
All right. Another piece of huge news, and we have to get to our reviews of the GV70, but another piece of huge news, Stellantis.
I cannot believe this.
No, it's weird. It's crazy. It's shocking. And it's kind of depressing.
It's very depressing. So if you hadn't heard, Stellantis pulled out of basically every auto show unless they decide that they really need to go to one. Now, what that means is for the upcoming shows is CES, which is the Consumer Electronics Show, which for some reason now has become a car show because most cars now are now basically giant iPhones.
Yep.
And that one is in January. They're not going to that one. But worse than that for us, being in Chicago, is the Chicago Auto Show, which had a huge Stellantis presence. I mean, they had the Camp Jeep, like, track. They had
which was arguably the biggest draw of the event.
Exactly. Along with like 0 to 40, let's say, drag races with the Hemi V8s, you had the Charger and the Challenger out there. Sometimes they had the Trackhawk or the Ram. That's all gone. And that was a huge part of what the consumers were enjoying at auto shows. So I don't know how that's going to impact consumer attendance. I would think negatively because that was a huge draw. If you ever went on a consumer day to the Chicago Auto Show, the line for the Jeep adventure portion.
Yeah, Camp Jeep.
Yeah. It was so long. It was hours long. And even when you went on like the charity night, that line was huge. In fact, people were basically standing in that line and giving away a free car with the raffle that they kept. The last time, I don't know if you were there last time, they were announcing raffle winners for like an hour and a half, and nobody was claiming this car, probably because they were all standing in that line.
Line. Because Cab Jeep, for people who don't know, was sort of like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
It was set up. It was a
you basically got in a car with a Jeep certified driver who took you on this off-road course that they set up inside the arena, and it went up and down and undulating, and they showed off the disconnecting sway bars, and it was fantastic, and it was a great way to sell those vehicles.
The noise of vehicles on that track became the background of the Chicago Auto Show.
Yeah.
So the Chicago Auto Show has issued a statement. Stellantis used to take up 90,000 square feet of the auto show that they need to fill now. But the good news is they have even more electric vehicles for the electric vehicle track. While that may not be superficially as exciting, there are some interesting things about that, including that the vehicles are dead silent. It's a really weird thing
and
to see this.
No emissions for the inside.
Yeah. That's right. Because there was a weird rule, too, about bringing in gasoline-powered vehicles. You can't fill them inside.
Interesting.
You have to take them out. And I think there's all sorts of weird rules about how that's handled.
Well, not to mention the exhaust was basically in the air. It wasn't enough to hurt you, but it was still in the air. So that can't happen with the electric vehicles. I would love to see Rivian and Lucid and some of these other smaller manufacturers maybe make a presence there.
Because I would love to see that.
Otherwise, I can see the whole show just going to basically the North Hall because they may not have enough exhibitors to justify the space for both halls because it's split across two giant halls. It's the largest consumer auto show in the world.
This is my sincere hope that this is temporary.
I do too.
And I have a thought about this. The fact that this is a very bad year for Stellantis in terms of product on the ground.
So that, as well as you know, they're transitioning a lot of stuff right now. So all the Chargers, Challengers, all those cars,
they're gone.
They haven't really come out with their Ram Charger, the Ram EV.
Nope, that's all next year.
So they're in this weird in-between place where they don't have a lot of product. And not only that, the product they do have isn't selling.
No, for a long time, the Wrangler seemed like it was impervious to the Bronco.
Right.
And that's no longer the case.
Although it's still their top-selling vehicle, I think.
It is. And Grand Cherokee also still sells very well. And that's kind of on its own. It's a weird – Grand Cherokee is a weird vehicle because they get like a premium price for it.
Right.
It's kind of a nice vehicle. And it's I think it's as much as people freely pay for a Jeep product.
Yes.
Grand Wagoneer and Wagoneer, probably a little bit overpriced, and the volumes have been relatively low on those.
Right. But if you look at that – I gave you this list that I found at where is this, motorbiscuit.com. Has the a list of the models with the highest days on market. Now, this is as of the end of May 2023, I just noticed, but I've seen other lists and it basically tracks with this. But at the time, you had this is out of the top 10, I think, six or seven of these are Stellantis models. That's the Jeep Renegade, the Ram 2500 pickup, the Jeep Cherokee, which no longer exists. I don't think the Renegade's around either. Chrysler Pacifica Hybrid, the Jeep Compass, the Ram 1500 Classic, and the Jeep Gladiator. All of those, I mean, the minimum days on market on this list is 283, and that was the Gladiator. And so I can see why maybe at this moment in time, Stellantis thought, this is not a really great way to spend our money.
No.
And you know what? If you were going to buy a Jeep, you probably don't need the Cam Jeep. It was just a fun thing to do. But, you know, like you said, with the Bronco being out there in competition-wise, and they are doing their own track now in these auto shows the last couple of years with the Bronco, I don't know.
All right, I got to point something out here.
Yes, sir.
The Chrysler Pacifica Hybrid.
Yes.
Is a plug-in hybrid.
Yes, it is.
The federal government just released their vehicles that qualify for the new EV tax credit.
Isn't that on there?
It's on there, and it gets the full amount. It's a plug-in hybrid, but it gets the full $7,500. That going hybrid here is free, basically. You want to do it.
The federal government is making minivans cool again.
All right, we almost ran out of time here, but you and I both spent some time in the GV70. That's the Genesis GV70 electrified.
Right.
So the electric version of that vehicle. And as you and I discussed briefly off-air, electrifying that vehicle, for the most part, makes it better.
Yes, it does. The driving experience is amazing. It is fast. It's really fast. It's quiet. Basically, everything about the vehicle gets better, except the range.
Range is a problem. And then you charge it in the winter.
Yes.
And it should be 236 miles of range.
I was getting 190 max with 100%.
Yeah. So that's that winter hit.
Yes. Yeah, so you get a winter hit, and it's... I will tell you this, for all of the EV issues that we've talked about in the last few months. The one that is kind of a paradox is that more people are buying EVs, but that means that there are fewer places to charge them because I am running into full chargers everywhere I go.
There is an Electrify America station up in Lake Zurich, Illinois, not too far from here, about 15 minutes, 20 minutes from here. The two times I've been there, I've waited.
I just waited.
It's a four station.
Yeah. In Aurora next to Naperville, I waited. I couldn't even get into one here in Glenview at the Target. There were three people waiting for three spots, and I wasn't going to be the fourth and just sitting around waiting. So this is, I guess it's kind of a good problem they have. These are growing pains, but I don't see these Electrify America and especially EVgo. I don't see them stepping up to the plate and coming through with more capacity.
No, we need to see more of these, and we'll talk about this in the future, but we need to talk about the NEVI, the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Act.
I would like to see
what that means, because it's taken, people have pointed this out, it took 2 years from that to go from funded money to the first station going in, but it took forever because each state had to come up with its own plan, have it approved. There was a lot going on there. It took too long. But the news about that that may cause some people to shudder is the contractors that are going to build these are the same people we're complaining about.
Where half the stations don't work?
Yeah. It's going to be EVgo. It's going to be Electrify America.
Oh God,
and they're going to be the ones building these stations and managing them.
Yeah.
So there'll be more of these, but they're going to be just as disappointing as ever. Hopefully not.
One can hope.
One can hope. All right. We need to take a break real quick. When we come back, we talk to Jared Pellet of Genesis.
Awesome.
Stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, we're back. I'm Tom, he's Brendan, and this is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. Thanks for sticking around today. Brendan.
Hey, Tom.
Ask me about social media.
Yeah, aren't you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter.
And I'm not going to call it X.
No, I'm just going to call it Twitter. And people want me to leave Twitter. I'm actually being pressed.
Those people don't know what they're talking about.
I'm being politically harassed to leave Twitter.
I'm on Twitter. You and I were having some back and forths about the upcoming vehicle we're going to be discussing, the GV70 that we just discussed and we'll discuss with Jared and my adventures in charging.
Adventures in Charging is a good name for it. But the thing about Twitter, too, car Twitter is very good.
Yes, it is.
There are a lot of really serious car guys out there on Twitter, and they find stuff. And the bring a trailer stuff is always entertaining,
Always entertaining. You just have to, like, filter out the crap that you don't want. And it's good. It's the car stuff is good. And I think you are car guy Tom.
I am car guy Tom. Thank you. That's the point I was trying to make.
It's okay. I was trying
to slide there slowly. but for sale, someone pointed out, right now on Bring a Trailer, there's a Kaiser Darren.
Ooh.
Are you familiar with this?
My dad was kind of a fan of the Kaisers back in the day. Those are old.
It's a beautiful car. It's a two-door convertible with sliding doors. The doors slide into
Oh, yeah.
What a crazy car. But it's beautiful. I think 85 total were built. They were not high-performance vehicles.
No.
There was just like a F-head straight.
If it had 50 horsepower, I'd be surprised.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot going on there, but beautiful car.
Beautiful car. And actually, just on Bring a Trailer was Michael Jordan's 12-cylinder BMW 850 CI, I think, or manual. It just saw, it was at $70-some thousand and when I stopped looking at it, and it was here in Glencoe.
That was also the more desirable two-valve 5-liter 12.
Yes.
Which were more durable.
Yeah.
Other versions of that engine started to get a little expensive to maintain.
Yeah. So you find good stuff there.
Yeah, you do. So yeah, Car Guy Tom, thank you. That was my point. But today we're going to talk some Genesis, and I've been wanting to have this conversation for a long time because Genesis launched a few years ago and was pretty quiet, right? Just two sedans, not the world's most exciting sedans. But in the last few years, just the last couple of years, the brand has exploded. And it's crazy because every product is good. Every product is
innovative.
Innovative is good. I used to say that they were bargains. They're not bargains anymore, but they are strangely good values in the class.
Exactly. Value is a good word.
Yeah.
They were bargains. Now they're values.
To talk to us about this is the senior manager and head of PR and communications for the Genesis brand. Welcome to the podcast, Jared Pellet. Jared, how are you?
I'm very good. Hello, Tom. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, Jared.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us on this first podcast of 2024. And Genesis is a good name for a first of anything. Tell us a little bit about the brand. For people who don't know, and I think it's possible people don't know, tell us about the Genesis brand.
Yeah, so great question. Genesis is a very new brand, as you mentioned. We only came into existence about 8 years or so ago now.
Just 8 years.
So it's still a very, very young, up-and-coming brand. We've quickly expanded into a lineup full of great products, sedans, SUVs, EVs. But more than that, we are the only luxury automotive manufacturer from Korea. And so, Tom and Brendan, I actually have a question for you. Have you ever been to Korea before?
No, I have not. You?
My invite to come to a Genesis event in Korea apparently got lost in the mail, but I am going to talk to the mailman about that because I have not yet been there.
I would love to see Korea.
I would love to.
Well, hopefully one day in the future we'll have the opportunity.
So that was not an invitation. Okay. I was starting to text my wife. I am going to Seoul.
Get my passport ready.
So the reason I bring this up is because as the only Korean luxury manufacturer, we have something that nobody else has, and that is we have a very distinct Korean cultural heritage. And if you don't know much about Korea, the one thing about it is that in Korean culture, we treat everybody with the utmost respect and dignity. There's a term that's used in Korean culture called sonmin, or honored guest. And that's the way in which people are welcomed and treated as if they are an honored guest in your home. And so for Genesis, we take this very seriously. And we are crafting products and experiences for customers here in the U.S. and around the world where they will get this really special experience, a purchase and ownership experience in the automotive world unlike any other.
I have said this to people, and I'm sure you'll agree with me because it's your job to, but Genesis interiors would not disappoint, even on the cheapest, most affordable Genesis product. Genesis interiors would not disappoint in a Bentley. They are so nice, so well-crafted, and so welcoming. It is shocking. And I think that you guys must be selling these cars on the test drives because they're so impressive.
Yeah. One thing about us being a new brand is that we have to make people aware of our brand. Brand awareness, you know, as a new player in the space is critically important. And our team is working very hard to make sure that we get as many people to experience a Genesis vehicle as possible. And you're absolutely right in that once people do get into a Genesis vehicle for a test drive, they typically fall in love immediately. The interior cabin space in all of our vehicles is crafted in such a way where, you know, it's functional and it's elegant and it's simple and it's got everything that you need, but it's also very opulent and upscale and just a beautiful place to spend time. All of the materials are authentic. You know, if it looks like leather, it's real full grain leather. If it looks like metal, it's real brushed aluminum. Even in our shifter designs, we're using solid pieces of scratch-resistant tempered glass. So a really, really beautiful place to spend some time.
It is satisfying to be in a vehicle, to be in a Genesis product, and touch something that looks like chrome or looks like bright metal or polished aluminum, and to feel it cold to the touch because it's actually metal. That is somehow refreshing. It's nice to see. But I wanted to ask you about something very specific, and that's the marketing and positioning of Genesis, especially versus BMW and Mercedes. And one of the interesting things about the advertising, one, it seems to be, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, more open, I think, to female consideration and far less technical. There isn't a lot of discussion of horsepower, of acceleration, or even ride and handling, maybe ride, but it's more about the experience. And is this something you guys are doing intentionally, or am I just reading more into this than there is?
No, absolutely. I mean, you've hit the nail on the head. There's a huge opportunity out there with female buyers. We recognize that. Of course, you know, within our company, we've actually got great female executive leadership as well that's really providing a great perspective on all of this. We have our chief operating officer for Genesis Motor North America, Claudia Marquez, a great veteran of the global automotive industry leading the charge for us. And then on the marketing side, of course, we have Wendy Orthman, who's our executive director of marketing here for Genesis Motor America. You know, so great attention is being paid to tactics to not just attract, you know, one particular set of automotive buyers, but really broaden the audience. Make sure that Genesis is a brand that's inclusive for everyone, that everyone can have access to across the United States, but also around the world, and of course, across all sorts of different demographics.
So Genesis had a record year in the U.S. last year. Congratulations. Yeah. Almost 70,000 units, up about 20% from the year before. How is growth a challenge for you guys? You want to keep pricing where it is. You want to maintain your pricing power. And you need to advertise more, obviously, as you grow. What are the challenges you see, and how do you not dilute what is obviously a very carefully honed message right now?
Right. So I think, you know, first and foremost, the growth is happening for us. You know, as a very new brand, there's lots of growth opportunities. We're obviously a conquesting brand in that many people who are coming to the Genesis brand for the first time are new buyers. It's their first Genesis. And so we have to pay extra careful attention to make sure that people fall in love, not just with the products, but also with the brand and with the experience that they have. And, you know, there's a number of different tactics that we're employing here in the United States. One of them is a standalone retail facility, making sure that Genesis, the brand, has a permanent home in communities and for customers across the United States. So the first 9 of those have now opened, but there's more than 100 of them that are in various stages of development. And what we're seeing with the Genesis brand is incredible growth. This past year, 2023, the final numbers are in. We sold over 69,000 units for the very first time.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And what an achievement. You know, 23% more sales volume than the prior year. We still have a long way to go, but we're making great strides, and it's very encouraging to see how the Genesis brand has been welcomed here in the United States, and how many customers we are now welcoming into the Genesis family.
Jared, I think that the welcome part is sort of, you've done that yourself. Anyone who's ever gotten in one of your vehicles and driven them will quickly understand just how amazing they are. And then you look at the price and you're just thinking to yourself, that can't be it. Like, that can't.
It's kind of a deal.
It's a deal, right? And you have so many innovative features coming out in your vehicles. And I'm just going to run through a quick list. I'm in the GV70 right now, the electric one. You've got a 3D dash and a 3D HUD. I don't know how you do it, but it's amazing. You literally look at the dash and it's sitting on different levels. You look at the HUD, it's like a three-tiered cake. The car in front of you leaves it a light. It beeps at you. I wish, as a person who's been stuck behind those people all the time, I wish that every car had those.
No one wants to admit it, but we're all messing around with our phones.
Yes. So the car will tell you, hey, get going. You've got blind spot cameras that come up in the dash. So you turn on your turn signal, it shows you what's in your blind spot right there in the dash. And then you've got my favorite, because I am Sons of Speed, and that is a boost button in your electric vehicles, where you hit that and it actually makes the car faster. And I was telling Tom this, I did a little test. The GV70 electrified without the boost button does 0-60 in 4.34 seconds. And then if you use that boost button, it drops it down to 3.89 seconds. So it's not just a gimmick. So my question is, all of these things that you're innovating, I mean, you've got a feature that will set the seat to your height and weight to the perfect position. And I've used it. It works. What are you doing next? Like, how do you continue to innovate at that level? Because I think that's really when people look at all these features, and then they look at the price, and then they look at the styling, and the interiors are gorgeous. How do you keep that up? I mean, you guys are riding high right now, and it's just like, where do you go from here?
Yeah, Brandon, great question. I think first and foremost, it really speaks to the talent that we have within our organization, and also the vision that the leadership has for the organization and for the brand, and how we can move things forward for our customers. Ultimately, it comes from our executive chair and goes, you know, all the way through our leadership, and our designers and engineers have done a remarkable job putting out all of these products that are, you know, smash hit after smash hit. We couldn't be more pleased with all of that. But I think it's really important to understand that we don't think of technology just for technology's sake. Like, hey, you know, let's just load up this vehicle with a whole bunch of stuff. Like, that's not the approach that we're taking to it. everything is very methodical. Everything is very well thought out, and it has to serve a function for the vehicle occupants, for our customer. Perfect example. You know, you talked about the blind spot view monitor. Wouldn't it be great, you know, just to help you feel a little bit more comfortable when you're driving? Maybe it's a little dark out. Maybe the conditions aren't, you know, super great right now. You know, it's winter time, and you know, just to have that extra comfort and confidence.
Oh,
when
it's
you
great.
Hit that turn,
it's great.
Turn signal, to just have that extra layer of protection, knowing if someone is there in your blind spot. You spoke about the 3D gauge cluster that's in GV70 and the electrified GV70. There's so much information being presented to us these days when we're in our vehicles. Wouldn't it be great if we could create a hierarchy of information so you could see just the stuff that was most relevant to you portrayed in a more prominent way so that you could keep your eyes and your mind on the road? I mean, these are the thoughtful processes that our teams are going through in preparing and developing all of these technologies. They're not just doing it because, oh, that seems cool. They're doing this because we really do care and are very passionate about how we can improve people's lives and their vehicle experience.
Jared, we're running out of time here, but I've got two questions I want to ask you. Maybe you can address them briefly. First is, you mentioned conquest sales. Can you tell us where Genesis customers are coming from? Are they young buyers that have become affluent and moved up from mainstream cars, or are they other luxury makers?
Yeah, great question. And the best part is that they're coming from everywhere.
Great.
We don't really just see consumers coming to the Genesis brand from one place or another. We know that, you know, vehicle purchases overall are greatly affected by, you know, big life changes and life moments. And so, yes, we see all of that. We see people coming to us just, you know, coming from another brand, people who maybe it's their first time owning a luxury vehicle, and they read something great about Genesis online, or they saw the distinct design of the vehicle on the road and they wanted to try it out. So, it's a little bit of everything, and that's really a great position to be in as a conquesting brand.
Well, cool. And then finally, real quick, just about electrification. Is Genesis responding what appears to be a slowdown in the trip to full electrification? Are you guys changing your plans moving forward, or are you just marching ahead with an EV progress? And is there anything we should be looking for in that camp?
Yeah, it's a great question. And of course, we are prepared to respond to the needs of our customers, which is why we currently have a robust plan to transition our model lineup to electrification. I think the approach that we're taking is very methodical, ensuring that we have products available for customers who are not quite ready yet to transition to EVs. We have a pretty extensive lineup of gasoline-powered vehicles, but at the same time, we are now giving customers the option to move into an EV. We have our dedicated EV model, GV60, but also electric versions of both our G80 executive sedan and SUV GD70. So that way, you know, people can feel comfortable and have the confidence to try an EV. And, you know, I know we're running out of time, but so that everyone understands, we're not just selling folks an EV. We're also providing them with services to help that transition to a new electric vehicle lifestyle. We've got home charging solutions, Genesis Home, a program where we're helping people outfit their homes for the future of clean energy, and a number of other, you know, public charging programs that we are participating in as well, to not just sell folks an EV, but to give them the opportunity to have confidence to transition to electrification.
Cool. Jared, we've run flat out of time. I'd like to thank you for joining us today, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.
We'll talk again soon, I hope. That's Jared Pellett with Genesis. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, it's quiz time. Stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom, he's Brendan, and it's quiz time.
Thank you.
I shouldn't have, I just took a bite of donut.
And I could talk for a minute if you want.
I needed like another 30 seconds.
Well, you know, if you like to check out Sons of Speed online, you could check us out at sonsofspeed.com and wearemotordriven.com as well. I forgot to mention earlier that Sons of Speed is part of We Are Motor Driven, which is basically a conglomerate joint venture with Auto Exotica, The Median, Rides and Drives, and us. And we pool all of our content on one website, although it's broken up into each individual company's content, and then we put all of our stuff on the same YouTube channel. So there's kind of like a one-stop shop. You can get different people's perspectives on the same vehicles, and you can get a lot of different vehicles reviewed for your pleasure.
All good content.
Thank you.
I know all you guys. I know all the motor-driven folk. All right, it's quiz time today, and I thought today that for the quiz we should go really basic.
Okay.
Really fundamental.
A base price of base cars?
No, no. But it's close. It's close. You're going to like this because it's kind of up your alley.
Okay.
Today's topic is horsepower.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a vehicle. I'm going to give you two horsepower numbers. You have to tell me which one's correct.
If you give me like any 80s slash mid-90s vehicles, I could probably get
them. I still remember them.
70s. Oh, I remember all of them. I used to study the back of the car and driver. Remember the list?
Uh-huh.
With all the 0 to 60 times and the horsepowers and the top speeds.
Road and Track used to do a list that wasn't monthly.
Oh.
Like, and I think they did it as filler, but it was incredibly comprehensive.
I loved it, the back pages of Car and Driver.
Yeah, yeah, it was good stuff. Bible. All right, are you ready?
I am.
It's quiz time. The first vehicle on the list is the 2024 Chrysler Pacifica.
Non-hybrid.
Non-hybrid, powered by a 3.6-liter V6.
Okay.
Ubiquitous, the Pentastar V6.
The Pentastar V6.
I'm going to give you two numbers. Tell me which one's correct.
Okay.
287 horsepower. Or 267 horsepower?
The question is whether in different applications they come sometimes squeeze out different amounts of power. I think that is probably the same engine that's in the Wrangler. I think it might be, it's not a very powerful engine. It's a complete guess, but I'm going to go with the lower number than 60-something.
It's 287.
Is it 287?
Yeah, but you're right. It's not super high horsepower. Very rich torque curve. It's a good engine for a big vehicle.
Of course, you gave me a minivan to start with.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's mix it up a little
bit.
Okay. The 2024 Porsche 911 Carrera.
Okay.
That is the base.
Yes.
Porsche.
So this is 335 horsepower in 2001. I know that.
I used to know these too. I was surprised how I don't even know the engines anymore. But there's a lot going on with the 3-liter turbo.
Okay.
It's so in a lot of stuff in different states of tune.
Right. This is a naturally aspirated, what, 3.6, 3.8?
No, it is a turbocharged 3-liter.
Oh, so they have, okay, gone the other
911
way.
911 Carrera.
Carrera.
It starts at around $111,000, though. 911
is so expensive. Used, too. I mean, because these new ones are gone, creeped up, and the used market is crazy.
Yeah. So 379 horsepower or 401 horsepower?
Oh, 401.
379.
Good, bless it.
Now, if you go to the S.
I'm screwing this up.
If you go to the S, a tweaked version of the same engine, you go to 443 horsepower.
That I knew, actually. I thought it was 444, but. But yeah, so 389 in the base?
379.
79. Boy.
That's still a pretty high strung 3-liter six.
I mean, it was 335 20 years ago. You'd think they could have squeezed out a few more than 40 more horsepower.
You know what, though? I think that they actually made detune just to maintain that base car positioning.
Or it makes more power than they say. And
that too.
Yeah, because they've always been really quick. And they're like, that doesn't have 300 horsepower. It's going 0 to 60 in like 4.5 seconds.
Do you remember, you would have been young, when the 944 came out?
Yes, I remember the 944. I had a high school classmate had a 944.
The 944 in its first year did 0 to 60 in something like 9 seconds.
Yeah, it was so slow.
And people complained about it. And what was interesting is that it was just because you had to get in a third shift on your trip to 60. So they just revised the gearing. It actually made it a little bit slower in the quarter mile. But then it did 0 to 16 like 7.9.
Right.
Because you just didn't need the second shift.
Right.
Or third shift, I'm sorry. Or second.
No,
it was the second shift.
It's the second shift to third gear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And then they threw a turbo on it and they made it relatively quick. But still, by today's standards, it's so slow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but boy, in the day.
Yeah.
That was a cool car. All right, number three. You have no points.
I have no points. I'm like Jill.
Yeah, yeah. And we didn't do the rules again, but there are five questions plus the bonus question.
I need to run the table here at the OG questions.
You do.
All right. We'll get the bonus, which is always a difficult one for me.
One of your favorite cars is the Mitsubishi Mirage.
Oh, boy.
Which for 2024, only available as a hatchback. So the G4 sedan seems to be gone. No one's going to miss it.
I haven't driven a Mitsubishi since the Eclipse was an actual sports car.
I haven't driven the plug-in hybrid yet, and I hear good things.
Actually, I take that back. I rented an Outlander in New York City 3 years ago once.
Okay.
Not a bad car.
The current Outlander, which is heavily based on the Nissan Rogue.
Ah, that's why it's so good.
Yeah. 78 horsepower or 95 horsepower? Okay. This is from a 1.2 liter three-cylinder.
No way.
Which mates exclusively to a CVT. This just screams party.
Oh, my gosh. My first car had 85 horsepower. I can't... I don't want to believe that there's a car that made less power than my Fiat 1.5 four-cylinder engine.
The first car I drove illegally was my dad's Valiant with a slant six.
Slant six.
That was 90 horsepower.
Yeah.
With a lot more torque.
225 cubic inches.
Yep.
See, I know the old stuff.
Yeah. The 225, the slant six, the legendary slant six.
Yeah.
You couldn't kill them.
You could not.
You wanted to.
You wanted to.
You could go for a year without oil. It would still run just fine.
I'll probably get this wrong, but I'm going to guess the higher number because I just can't imagine that anyone put 70-some horsepower.
No, it's 78
God
horsepower.
God bless.
All right, now you really do have to run the table.
Oh, my gosh.
This is a...
How do you sell a car with 78 horsepower?
I mean, they don't.
Yeah, there's your answer.
They actually don't. All right, this is very popular. Very popular. The Ford F-150's 2.7-liter turbo.
Okay,
the
small is this the twin turbo? No, that's the two...
I think it's a single turbo, the 2.7.
They put that in pretty much everything, right?
It's in a lot of stuff, the 2.7 turbo.
All right. And I think it was in the Nautilus before it was a Nautilus. Because I think that was the upgraded option in the MKX that we leased once.
Yeah, that went. Oh, I'm trying to remember how that worked because it eventually became that 3-liter engine. That's even
Yeah, but
the
it
Raptor,
was a 2.7 turbo.
Yeah.
Originally. Okay, I might get this one.
All right, 275 horsepower or 325 horsepower?
Oh, there's no way it makes that much. Ooh. Although the naturally aspirated one that was the base engine made like 280. What were those numbers again?
275 or 325. We're talking about an American vehicle, so very round numbers.
All right, it's a truck.
Uh-huh. This might be the most popular engine in the F-150.
Okay, let's say 325.
You are correct, sir.
Oh, thank God.
You need two more to make this work. Yeah.
That engine, only one of which is going to be a car question.
I forgot. There's something very weird about that engine. Like it's a cat, like valve or the block and head are cast together or something strange.
Yeah, there's some unique technology.
Yeah. All right, last of the regular questions, Cadillac Escalade.
Escalade.
Escalade. Just one engine available, big 6.2 liter V8. Is it 420 horsepower or 390 horsepower?
420.
It is.
And finally, he asked me a question of something I know about because I actually own a 6.2 liter GM V8 in my Corvette.
Oh, okay.
Which makes 460 horsepower in that application.
Also, I think that engine is 420 in everything else. It's every truck application.
Yeah, the Camaro was 455.
Oh, was it?
Was.
Yeah. All right.
Pour one out for the Camaro, unfortunately.
Yeah. Those are going to be collectible.
They will. Those are going to be collectible. Especially the ZL1 1LEs. Great car.
Those were expensive, too. They didn't move a lot of those. Were they like 75K?
Even the V6, I rented one and I took it up to San Angeles in Los Angeles, which is like the craziest mountain road. Handled like a dream. The new Alpha platform is just an amazing chassis. I don't know what kind of magic they put in there, but it handled so well.
It's nice, and I think the only reason it didn't sell as well as the Firebird, I'm sorry, the Mustang, is that the back seat is completely useless.
Completely useless.
And it's a little harder to get into. The guys that would buy that are maybe older than me.
Yeah.
And maybe nearly as big as me, and that is really hard to get into that car.
Not only that, it's hard to see out of that car. It was like...
Yeah.
Basically had like tank slits for windows.
We had... years ago now, we had a Camaro V6 manual 1LE suspension.
What a great car. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It would have been a fun thing to track.
Oh, absolutely.
That's no weight up front, because that V6 is light.
I'll tell you the worst part about that car was the trunk opening. You remember this thing? You would open the trunk. It clamshelled up, but there was only this, like, cutout on the top. And it had a big trunk, but you couldn't put anything big in it. Like, you could put a lot of small things in it, but you could, like, one single large, like, suitcase wouldn't fit through the opening.
That was the great thing about the Challenger.
Yes.
Four went out as well. That trunk is really, if you were a hitman and needed to, like, collect 6 or 7 bodies, you could just lay them, like, cordwood in the back of the car.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was a big trunk. And it was a top-opening trunk.
Yes, it was.
I just drove the Hyundai Ioniq 6, which you literally opened from behind. Like you open the trunk and like you shove things in from the back.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fairly roomy trunk, but to your point, very small opening.
Right. Which is like okay, I could put a lot of little things, not one big thing.
No. All right, you need the bonus question.
I do.
You remember Hostess?
Yes, I do.
Hostess
that went out of business and then came back as something else.
That's correct. And do you know who bought them last year?
I don't remember.
Smuckers.
Who. Oh, really?
Yes.
Those people. The and jam people.
At home, right now, I bought at a 7-Eleven a bag of Twinkie-flavored popcorn.
Interesting.
So they are branding the crap out of that brand.
Well, they paid for it. They should do it. And yep. You know what? As good as they are not for you... You got to just have a Twinkie every once in a while.
A Twinkie is good.
I love the Zingers, though.
Zingers are now Hostess products. They used to be Dolly Madison, and I don't know when that happened.
I don't either, but the raspberry Zinger is my go-to.
It's a legend.
Yeah.
I love
the raspberry. The lemon iced one is really good, too.
Yes. The thing about the lemon ice and the chocolate ice is that the icing part just comes off as a piece.
You know, isn't it great?
As a solid piece.
Put that in your toast.
You could use it as a knife to slice your Zinger.
I love it.
All right. Are you ready for this question?
I am ready.
I need you to tell me. They've expanded their brand lineup a lot. You have to tell me which of the four products I'm going to read to you is not, in fact, a Hostess product.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Number one, the Devil's Food Jumbo Honey Bun.
Okay.
Number two, and the plural is correct here, Coffee Cakes.
Okay. Probably got a two-pack.
And then the next one, Cinnamon Roll. Just Cinnamon Roll. And then finally, the Crispy Peanut Coffee Dunkers. One of these is fake.
Crispy peanut coffee dunkers.
Even if that's not real, I want that.
That's not real. Is it not real?
It's no, not real.
Not real. All right, you're win! But I do want that. That sounds awesome.
Like the economy, that was a soft landing for you. It looked bad.
Exactly.
It looked bad.
I just came in for the glide. It was looking... Yeah, you couldn't ask me about the Camaro or the Mustang or the...
So I have to get, not something off my chest, I just want to share something.
Yes.
Right now I'm driving the BMW X5 M60i.
Okay, how you like that?
So I like it a lot. And the thing I wanted to talk about here is that as, I don't know what has happened, but as vehicles have gotten heavier, and certainly in electrified vehicles, for manufacturers to nail that ride and handling balance seems to be getting harder.
Oh, okay.
But this BMW, flawless.
There you go.
This is the sporty version. It's stuffed full of turbocharged V8, lots of power, and it is a delight.
You know what's really interesting is that, as you say, these vehicles keep getting bigger, and we've talked about in the past some of them that really do this well. You talked about the Navigator not that long ago.
Yeah.
The Dodge Durango Hellcat, now not on the street, but on a racetrack, is ridiculously good. I don't know how they do it. In fact, if you watch our lap video of the Durango as we go around and smoke the front brakes, it was a great video. Pull that one up. that I go through and I'm just like, this is, you know, there's some engineer in Germany going, that's just not possible right now. This is for Bolton. Like you should not be able to take a 6,000 pound vehicle and do what you can do with that on the track. So they are the engineering that goes into some of these, especially the large ones. I don't know where they're hiding that mass. I don't know if there's like a levitate spell from Harry Potter that they put on that thing, but it doesn't feel as big and heavy as they are.
That was a thing with an interesting point is that those vehicles are old. The Durango is old. The Charger and Challenger were old. And they're born of
six old.
They're born of Daimler Chrysler.
Yes, they are.
And that is actually some Mercedes technology chassis.
And look how long it lasted.
It lasted, and it's still solid. It's still good.
Yeah.
But yeah, the ride and handling of even Hellcats was always surprisingly balanced. Like, they weren't bone crushing.
The SRT Durango got a little bit hard on bad surfaces, but that's because it did so well on racetrack. So, you know, there is a little bit of trade-off there when you're not spending, what is that XM cost?
Oh, I don't know. This is BMW
XM. House?
I don't even understand that product. I drove it, and I'm like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
It's a plug-in hybrid performance vehicle, but if you were to compare it to the vehicle I'm driving out now, which is also a mid-sized BMW performance vehicle, I would never come up with the extra $50,000.
For the one.
Yeah.
The pricing of
I don't have $50,000.
The pricing on some of these vehicles has just gotten out of hand, especially from the Germans.
All right. Guess what we did?
No way. We're out of time.
We're out of time.
Look at that.
Yeah. Good show today. Thank you to Jared Pellet of Genesis for joining us today. Thank you, Brandon, for sitting in.
You're welcome.
Thank you to producer Randy and the good folks here at TalkZone. We will talk more about cars next week.
remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.